your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom and dad. Good morning. Good morning. Hello,
did you
family.
All set your intentions for the eclipse?
Oh my God, yes, you know I did, King.
Because if you didn't, none of your dreams will come true.
I slept through the eclipse, so I'm ruined.
So I got extra good
what
rest.
What are the intentions when you sleep through? I dreamt through the eclipse, and there's that, honeybee. What does that mean?
Yeah, I was driving, and I was like, oh, it's like eclipse time, isn't it? I remember like trying to look, and I'm like, I don't notice any difference.
Yeah, I don't. In Los Angeles, apparently, we got like something like a 0.5% coverage.
Partial,
so there was
yeah.
like a proper, there was a proper moment where I heard people talking later.
You were shouting in the streets, oh my God.
No, I heard people talking later, like, oh yeah, like it went dark for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up at a certain time that I was like, oh, what time should I go outside and check it out? I am like, you guys, I was just telling the guys, I'm so embarrassed because I cannot believe I forgot like the duh that you can't look at the eclipse,
right.
During the eclipse. It's like that insanely embarrassing Donald Trump
sure.
meme where he stared into the eclipse and like, I loved it because everyone was just clowning on him for
forever
about
yeah.
it. I did that. Like, luckily
right.
it wasn't during the eclipse, but I set my alarm and I went outside and I just suddenly just looked up and stared burning retinas into the sun.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
why did I do that? And I couldn't, like, it was all splotchy for like 30 minutes. And then
yeah,
I never
well,
saw the eclipse. And I was like, why would I, like, I'm
yeah.
like, everyone is talking about the one thing everyone says is don't look at the eclipse. And I just walk outside and I just look right into the sun.
But I think it's big eclipse. It's marketing.
What are, no, you know.
You know what I mean?
Is, no.
We're talking big eclipse.
No, everyone, this
big
is mind surgeon. Do not listen to him. Do not look at the
hear
eclipse.
Me out. Hear
it
me
will
out.
Burn
who
your
sells
retinas.
All these glasses?
It will
know.
Burn your retinas.
You know what I'm saying? It's big eclipse. Okay?
He's trying to sell the glasses.
No, hear me out. Big eclipse is trying to convince us that you shouldn't look at it.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, what is human nature 101?
Oh, the shiniest,
don't touch
brightest
that.
Thing, though. You look.
I want to touch it.
Yeah.
So Big Eclipse comes out with the marketing. Don't look at the eclipse. Then everyone's free. I got to see the eclipse today. It's all marketing.
No,
it's all intergalactic marketing. People don't realize that the intergalactic, you know, marketing team truly had us on this one. They're selling like leads, they're selling glasses. You know, it's all Big Eclipse.
They're saying don't look at the eclipse without glasses.
Exactly.
So you get the glasses.
So
okay.
Don't look at the eclipse. Now I want to look at the eclipse, but if you do look at it, get the glasses. I mean, it's all
y'all,
part of the thing.
Please do not,
you know,
listen,
I mean?
To Evan Ambrose.
Also, is
MD,
looking at the sun,
mind doctor, because that your eyes will, your retinas will fry. Please do not.
Also,
do this.
Is kind of looking at the sun kind of like, don't chew gum, it'll grow a tree in your stomach. You know what I mean? Like, is there a level where it hurts, but
okay,
like how bad
all,
is it? You
I
want
to say
mean?
To you, don't chew gum, it'll grow a tree in your stomach is bananas. Like, no one's ever said that.
I'm gonna be trying to.
That's
just
like,
it's like a way, no. It's a way to tell kids not to swallow gum.
I know, but isn't it like it gets stuck in your stomach for 7 years? They say don't like eat seeds; it'll grow a tree in your stomach. Don't chew
maybe
gum.
Maybe I combine
it'll
two.
Grow a tree.
Grow a gum tree.
Gum, maybe I combined two stories. Maybe it didn't. Same.
I'm like a gum tree.
Listen. I'm just saying.
Listen,
you
everyone,
I mean?
It's because Evan, God bless your soul. You, okay, so here's the thing, family. We appreciate you being so flexible and patient.
Yes.
I know this normally drops on Wednesday mm-hmm. and it's dropping on a Thursday. It's because the schedule. Because
it's
Evan's
been a little
schedule.
Crazy for me.
When I say this, that your father over here, I think probably for the past 3 weeks has gotten, I'm guessing, 2 hours of sleep per night.
It feels like that.
And it's finally really caught up with you
yeah.
where I'm catching you like the moments I see you staring into the sun and
yeah.
staring off into the distance.
Gotta recharge the batteries.
Yeah, I have
you're
a,
so
I have a t-shirt.
Tired.
This is I survived staring at the eclipse.
You're so tired, you're talking about big eclipse. Like, that's what level
big
of,
business.
Of
big
delusion.
Business.
That's what level of delusion we're on right now. But yeah, it's like we said, you've been, it's,
yeah.
Evan's a music director, and yeah. It's Coachella week.
It's
this
Coachella
week.
Season, so we've got a lot of things
been,
going on.
You've had an absolutely wild, wild schedule.
Bit of a bender.
Yeah, bit of a bender. So we had to recalibrate and record this morning. But thank you so much for being able to record. I had said like, hey babe,
you're welcome. Thanks for having me today.
I'm like, I can get somebody else to come in and guest,
and
you
said,
were like,
no. No one sits in my chair. No. It was just like, you know.
But we appreciate
we never
you.
Do this too. That I don't think this is like we very rarely ever push, but had to do
yeah,
it. Thanks.
There's a sickness.
Thanks for your flexibility. Thanks for your love. Thanks for still being a part of. You know, this is part really. Of, this is family. We flex for each other. So
it's really family. It's really
means
family.
A lot.
And we appreciate you being here.
I appreciate being here and being loved.
And guess what? Speaking of love, what we're going to do today.
Yes.
So before we officially next week dive into the reality TV, speaking of benders, of it all, which we will discuss in a few minutes here, what we will be doing. Before we dive into that, last Friday, yes, we put out an episode where you all, via our anniversary, asked us questions about our relationship, sent in voicemails and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved having the conversation.
It was so fun.
And there were so many questions, and you know, we got to a few. I want to say this, the family, I love you all so much. I think I received after that episode more like emails, DMs than I have, and I don't know how long. People saying like, this is what I'm feeling. This is my story. This is what I've experienced in a relationship, what I'm struggling with. And just like so much vulnerability and openness.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like it regenerated and rejuvenated me over the past couple days, being like, we're not alone. We're all in this together. We've all had such different experiences. Even whether you've been in a romantic relationship or not, so much of this applies to friendships, to all sorts of different relationships. And it's like, I don't know. I just felt so seen and familial, and it made me feel warm and just like a big hug. And so thank you all so much for sending in all those DMs and all the comments and everything.
Yeah.
But it made us go, you know what? We feel like the family connected and we connected.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do one more episode like this where we get into some, you know, intense relationship topics because we still, like I said, had a lot, and there were a few notable topics that were still getting
trends.
Brought up a lot. And we want to talk about those, and some of them are a little spicy. So we're gonna do that
100%. Let's go.
We're gonna do that today. Before we do that, let's take a quick pause, and then also we got to talk what our schedule coming up is, because
okay,
you all voted. You all, oh my God, the family, they gave us the comments
up,
and they showed up and they showed out and they blessed my scheduling heart. So thank you all so much.
Thank you guys. First of all, thank you for taking care of that, because if you guys didn't, I would have had to have. And that's, we all know,
that
that's
was
not
the gift.
My strength.
That was the gift you gave to your father, who's been very busy, is that you helped me.
The gift was that
you helped me schedule, and I appreciate all of you so much. So much. I feel seen. I feel loved. I feel taken care of. I feel appreciated.
Wow.
Yeah.
We all just, there's so much love going on right now.
Yeah, the eclipse is really pulsating through my veins. All right, family. So, some people just celebrated Easter. We just celebrated our anniversary, obviously.
Oh.
We're going to be getting into this more. And to those who celebrate 420, it is right around the corner. And if you celebrate, then let me tell you about Viya. With Viya, you can celebrate the right way. Viya's hemp products truly offer it all. Whatever you're feeling, need to chill out after a long day, babe? There's a Viya gummy for that. Dealing with stress, babe? there's a Viya gummy for that. Want to set a certain mood in the bedroom? Babe, there's a gummy for that. Viya has actually developed a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC all into one mind-blowing gummy called High Love. And like I have mentioned, Evan and I have tried High Love before, and we'll keep it short and sweet by saying we enjoyed it.
It was enjoyable.
We absolutely enjoyed it. So if you're interested, and if you are 21 plus, if you're 21 over, check out the link to Viya in our description and use code MOMDAD to get 15% off.
Yeah, Viya also offers a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, each with their own unique strengths and effects catered for your routines. Whether you're looking for better sleep, relief, or a nice buzz, Viya has something something for you. I love their gummies before bed.
Yeah, that Dreams one.
I get incredible sleep. And the best part, Viya legally ships in all 50 states. No medical card required.
And by the way, if THC isn't for you, you can still take advantage of their CBD line with products designed for sleep, focus, and energy. I love, 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 I love their zero THC products. I love Flow State while I'm working and Zen before bedtime. They're so good. So if you're 21 plus, again, 21 and over, check out the link to Viya in our description and use the code MOMDAD to receive 15% off. After you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Celebrate 420 the right way with Viya. Happy holidays. Oh my God. Okay. So let's talk. Wait, we're going to talk our schedule in reality TV, but I want to bring something up and I want Lee, your opinion on this, because I've been lecturing Evan about this for the few hours I've seen him over the last couple of days.
Yeah. This has been, it's like, hey babe, how are you? It's like, quick, shut up. I have an idea.
And I need Lee, your opinion, and I need the family. Family, please go off, blow up those YouTube comments, because I need validation in this, okay? Please tell me this is an amazing idea or tell me that this is a terrible idea, but amazing idea preferred. Okay, so I thought about this because the other day I saw Dotton, our sweet Charity and Dotton, the couple that we love and we worship, he posted like a slideshow on his Instagram, and one of the slides had Charity singing along during a concert, and her voice was really good.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, first of all, of course, Charity, our queen. The woman just danced like an absolute pro in Dancing with the Stars. Incredible. She also has an incredible voice. She's an amazing person. She can't get better. But it made me think, because I'm like, oh, Charity Dancing with the Stars. Why do we have a Dancing with the Stars and we don't have a Singing with the Stars?
That's crazy.
Like, why don't we have that? Okay. Like, I know there's the Masked Singer.
Yeah.
But that is like, they're able to cover themselves up.
Right.
And slip into secrecy. So we don't have to like make eye contact with them. So if they do fumble, they're in like a monster costume.
Yeah. And I haven't seen the show, but I absolutely hate the premise. You know what I'm saying? Like, there must be something to it, but I've never seen it.
This show's huge.
It's huge. So I bet there's a lot of people like watching right now going, Evan, haven't seen it, you don't get it, but like the premise is something of my nightmares. But being like, let's put celebrities in weird costumes, have them sing, and then they gotta guess. I'm just like, what?
No,
is
y'all,
this?
It's absolutely
I
insane.
Prefer your idea much more.
But I have to say, with the Masked Singer, one of my most favorite, every once in a while I'll like watch little clips of it, and my most favorite thing is every single season they always, all the judges who are also celebrities are guessing who is the celebrity in the costume. And they're always guessing like Brad Pitt.
Yeah, right.
George Clooney. Right. I'm like, you guys, stop. Like, we all know that it's like a CD list.
Yeah, no, it's that one actor who was kind of in that movie. Everybody's like,
every once in a while they get a bigger name, but like, but we're not talking, we're not doing A-listers. Timothy,
it's like, it's probably
Timothy
like
Chalamet
YouTubers
isn't in,
shit.
You know, a jellyfish costume.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, exactly.
Whatever. But yeah, it's like it's an athlete or something, you know, whatever. But my idea is like Singing with the Stars, where you're, you know, seeing them backstage practicing, and there's a lot of people who, you know, they think they're good, but they're not very good. I mean, tell me this wouldn't be the most cringeworthy. Because Dancing with the Stars, a lot of times, you have sometimes the people who can't dance very well. Yeah. And then you have a moment of like, oh, that was intense.
Sure.
But think about singing.
But they also have a partner, right?
Exactly.
Who's incredible.
Who can basically
kind of like go, okay, this person's not very good, so we can design this whole thing.
Think about them looking directly into the camera and singing.
Yeah.
Like Mike the Situation singing Ice Ice Baby, like all by myself. Oh, Mike the Situation singing all by myself. I need it. Come on. You know what I mean?
Nick,
and then every once in a while.
Singing without me. The thing that you can leave without me. The amount of videos that I've seen where like there's like split screens of a guy like tied up and he's like singing that to them. He's like, and then it just cuts back to Nick going, thinking you could live.
Nick Lachey
Like he got someone, tied them up in the basement, and then it's just like singing it to them because no one else will listen. Oh, it's so funny. The guy's like.
No, listen, Nick Lachey would try to audition or get on.
They're like, no, singing. You're not. You can't be an actual singer. That's the point of this.
He'd be like, you guys get my agents. I'm getting on Singing with the Stars. They're like, Nick, a literal guy from a band, a musician, yeah. A singer cannot audition for Singing with the Stars.
Right, right.
But he'd figure out how to get on, and he would rip his Halsey music. Just every week, a different Halsey song. Halsey would be like sending cease and
desist.
And
then Halsey comes out as a judge, and he's like, oh my God.
But I don't know. I just think it would be so iconic.
I can't believe it doesn't exist.
Right?
You know?
I feel like maybe not enough celebs are down to get out on a stage
right.
a la American Idol and like let it rip every week. Like think about how many people
Think that
oh man.
It's really like a bad voice is very unsavory. Not dancing that good is like not that big of a deal. It's like, oh, what did you expect? They're not a dancer.
Sure.
So it's more of a surprise at how good. But listening to a horrible voice is like a form of, it's like brutal. You know what I mean? Like it sucks. And so I wonder if they've tested this type of thing and they're like, people are like, oh,
people are
horrific.
They don't like it. But then every once in a while, you get a shock and awe, and you'd be like, oh, that person. Because think about how many celebrities have spent their life, you know, on the stage beforehand.
I
doing
bet a
musical
lot of them
theaters.
Can sing solid.
That's what I'm saying. So then all of a sudden you'd have like a moment where someone, you know, again, like a charity, one of your favorite reality TV stars, she would get up on that stage and she would crush and everyone would have tears in our eyes. We'd be like, this is everything to us.
Right.
So then you'd have the highs and the
you'd
lows
have the
of
highs
the show.
And the lows, the cringe, a lot of cringe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I like the idea. I mean, I think it's definitely as viable and interesting as like Dancing with the Stars and the Masked Singer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm just saying, call me ABC, NBC,
another
CBS,
free idea from your mom and dad.
TMZ, E, Bravo,
AMC.
You can all call me. Okay, anywho, so that has something to do with it, but I've just been really passionate about it the past couple days.
It's important that we share our passions.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you validating.
You.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. But to our schedule, to the reality TV of it all, family, we have, I mentioned it on our Instagram, but if you haven't seen, via support from all of you and our own excitement, we 100%, we are covering The Circle.
Yes.
It is starting next week. Our first Circle recap will be out next Friday because the first four episodes of The Circle drop next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then here's the deal. We're going to be covering The Circle every week until it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be our consistent one. So the next few weeks, obviously we have two episodes every other week, but when we have the one episode a week, it will be on Fridays because of the Circle dropping episodes on Wednesdays for the next couple weeks. So every week we will be covering The Circle. I'm pumped. I saw an article about a new feature that they're adding, and I don't want to share it because I feel like people might consider it like ruining a surprise. But I saw an article about it, like a public article.
Oh yeah.
About an element that they're adding, and when I tell you all, this is going to be groundbreaking.
It's definitely like first of its kind.
Bananas, wild. Like we're all going to be talking about it. I'm like shaking thinking about it. So I can't wait. I cannot wait. So tune in. That's starting next week. But then, of course, we had our other reality TV that we were talking about. Yeah. And I put a poll up on Instagram because in our DMs and in our comments on YouTube, it seemed pretty split between three. And so I was like, I need a poll. And you all showed up and showed out. And the poll results are in. And 48% of you have voted that we do Traitor Season 2. So Traitor Season 2 is going to be our
end. The others were split kind of amongst it, but 48%.
Yeah, between The Valley and Love is Blind Sweden. And I know so many people were excited about The Valley, Love is Blind Sweden. And I know there are also people who have seen Traitors 2 before and are like, we don't want you guys to cover it because we've already seen it. But here's the thing. You haven't heard our takes on it yet.
Yeah, you watch The Bachelor and you already kind of know what happens at the end of the episode. You don't, we don't come here for like spoilers. You come here for our takes, our incredible personalities, our fanfare, our pageantry. So if you'd like to join the pageantry, if you'd like to see the pageant in action,
yes,
that's what we're going to do.
Please come and welcome. But if you're like, no, forget that, here's the bottom line. We will be still doing the circle every week. That will be our consistent. And with Traitors 2, what we're going to be doing, and that will be our next episode next week on Wednesday, we're going to be doing big chunks at a time. So like 3-4 episodes at a time, I'll post on Instagram. But that means that it'll be done in a couple weeks. We'll be done with Traitor season 2 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so then what that will look like is maybe we'll jump to Love is Blind Sweden or The Valley. We'll talk about that when we get there. But you all are going to get what you want, baby, at some point. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mama's going to take care
of you. Do you ever wink but do the wrong one?
All the time.
I do that all the time. Where I'll look at and then wink the wrong one.
So you just
and
then give I just them go, a wild open
yeah,
eye.
That happens all the time when I'm like, when I'll do it to Ember. I'll go, and I'm like, oh.
Gets the message across.
Yeah, the idea is there.
People see the wild open eye and they know what's going on.
Anyway, I'm excited.
I cannot wait. So that is the tea. Thank you all so much for setting in your votes and opinions. And it was so helpful and appreciated. And we cannot wait to get into it.
Yes, I'm
so
excited.
That starts next week, baby. So Traitor season 2, next Wednesday, probably episodes 1-3 or 1-4. And then The Circle on Friday. Okay, so let's get into what we're here for.
Yes.
Let's talk about the relationships of it all.
By the way, just side note, you love that new term, of it all.
Is that a new term?
No, I don't think it's a new term, but I've noticed that like you've kind of been saying it a lot, and I feel like it's kind of not new for you.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's a very good term, and if you mind if I steal it.
Please go for it. You have been using serving so much lately.
I have been.
Everything serving, you know, which I love. I love that you're
It's a great one.
I know it's
like
the best.
It's giving, it's serving.
Yeah, you're doing it serving.
It's a good way to say like this was the energy of the whole
thing. I know. Yeah. I love that.
Of it all is kind of in the same world. So I just want to point out that I've been noticing this and I like it.
Thank you. The fact of the matter is I say certain phrases quite frequently and it makes people bananas.
Really?
I get messages all the time. They're like, stop saying this.
And
I'm like,
all.
I can't help it. It's when I'm flowing, when I'm in flow state and the words are coming out.
Yeah.
I practice, I try, but you know what? That's just
what I like sometimes. About it is I don't think I've ever heard anyone use it really. I mean, like obviously I've heard it before, but I like it. So
it's very used, but I will take credit for it. So thank you.
Okay, sorry, random. I'm in tangent vibes today, so let's keep me on track. Keep me on schedule.
So yes, let's get into all of this. As I mentioned before, we have some big topics that seem to be coming up a lot again frequently. But first, a couple quick fire about us personally. Number one, got the question, do you still put his balls on your face? Yes, that's not going to change. Sorry, Lee. It's not going to change with age. We'll be old in the nursing home.
Actually, I'm done with the balls. Yeah. I've decided today is the last ball day.
No more balls in the face.
Yes.
I wanted to bring it up, though, because when I tell you all, and I've mentioned this before, but it continues. When I tell you all that I think, no exaggeration, I probably get a message. If I'm checking my DMs, I get a message maybe once every couple weeks for the past few years.
Right.
With someone saying, hey, just FYI.
Just a ball update.
We finally tried the balls in the face and I love it. So all I'm saying, and I'll keep screaming it from the mountaintops, the rooftops, it might not be for you, but if you're on the fence and you're like, hey, why not try it? It is pretty confirmed. If I were to be taking a scientific poll right now from my messages that I've gotten, I've never heard anything negative from some. I've never gotten a bad review. Someone's never sent me a DM and said, fuck you, bitch. I tried the balls in the face.
I went to the ball spa and it was horrible.
Yeah, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there. Yeah. Just putting that out there. So there's that update. Also, someone asked what our first date was, and I wanted to address that because our very first date.
What was our first date?
You don't remember? Well,
no, I do. I just am testing you. So go ahead.
Let me remind you what our first official date, because we had been like flirting, telling each other that we liked each other, crushes, blah, 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 you know, all of this. And our first official date that Evan took me on is he took me to my favorite restaurant. He picked me up flowers, took me to my favorite restaurant, and then drove me to this gorgeous lookout point near our house, sat me on a bench, and told me that he was in love with me. First date.
That's so
date
sweet.
Number one. I know, it was so lovely. You are bachelor energy from day one. We're meant to be recapping the Bachelor.
I was there for the right reasons.
You were there for the right reasons. And from day one, you're the type of person who first date, you're like, I love you. Now, granted, we were friends. We'd known each other since we were 10 years old.
A little bit of context. It wasn't like I was like, hey, nice to meet you. Can I take you out on a date? I love you, by the way. It's like I'd known you for years.
Yeah, we've been friends since we were 10.
We had been connecting for like a long time at that point, but yes, the long and short of it, I will say this. I said I love her real fucking early.
Yes, so fast.
Like really fast.
But again, like you were saying, we've known each other since we were 10, have been friends for years and years. Yeah. But so it was like you were letting me know that you loved me for a long time.
That's true.
So you just were like letting me know on our first date?
We said it back.
Yeah, I did. Of course I did. What am I going to...
the pressure, I get it.
I didn't feel it, but I know. Of course I said it back. I was so in love with
you. Where did I take you to dinner? Cheesecake Factory, probably?
Peking Dragon.
Oh, okay. Nice,
yeah, no,
nice.
You splurged. I'm being serious. That was a nice restaurant.
Now there's all these posts that people are like, would you date him again if he took you to, you know, Cheesecake Factory? And everybody's like, no, yes, but thank you for sticking with me.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If someone takes me to Cheesecake Factory, I live and I love.
Yeah.
I love Cheesecake Factory.
So many options.
That's the thing, too. I feel like it's a nice restaurant to take someone to because you're like, you will find something you like here.
Yeah.
There are 550 options on the menu. So, you know, for some, you don't know if you're going on a date with someone who has certain food intolerances, is a picky eater. Cheesecake Factory, you have all the options. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's not too high pressure of like, oh, I'm at some wildly fancy restaurant where I feel like uncomfy. But, you know, some people are like, no, wine and dine.
Yeah.
But it's a nice restaurant. It's not cheap.
Definitely not cheap.
No,
especially that era.
This shit costs
it's always
a lot of money.
Been expensive, especially that era. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
That's just my personal opinion.
I love it.
So yeah, that was our first date, everybody.
God, that's crazy. I love you. I mean, have some sort of swag, Evan. That just shows you.
It was so
right
lovely.
There.
I knew it day one.
It's like, oh, I love you. What did you just say? Nothing. It was literally. I was basically. You know what it was? I was Love is Blind. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Sitting
you
in the pods,
born...
they tell each other, I love you within 2 weeks, and then they're getting married. Like, that was me.
I'm saying you were born to recap reality TV because you can relate.
I can relate to
he
falling
relate.
In love fast.
Yep. Okay. He feels it.
A little bit of expertise.
All right, let's talk cheating. I know. What a switch
what
of
a
direction.
Left turn. First date to cheat.
Let's talk cheating. But before we talk cheating, we got to take another quick pause. Family, so I've been with Evan for a long time, obviously. I've also been with my own skin for quite a while. This skin is 35 plus years old, baby. Almost middle-aged. Wow. Here's the thing. Over the years, I've tried a lot of skincare to take care of this skin, and I was getting really sick of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines. But then I discovered today's sponsor, and I am so happy. I love it so much. It is One Skin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. We've been both using One Skin for over a year now, and we absolutely love it. And I have absolutely seen the difference in my skin. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. I might be tired, but I look incredible.
You look gorgeous.
You know what I mean? Thank you. The secret is One Skin's proprietary OS01 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Mm-hmm. And they've got several studies to back it up. Like Jess said, we've been using their products for a while now, and I am hooked. But don't just take my word for it. One Skin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
I just love One Skin so much. I use it on my face, my eyes, my whole body, baby. And I love the results. And I am also obsessed with the ease of it. Like, just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily. That's it. And by the way, do you have other products that you can't live without? here's the deal. OneSkin's topical face, eye, body, and shield can all be used with other products and easily fit into your current skincare routine. OneSkin creates next-level skincare truly, and bottom line, they believe the purpose of skincare is not just to improve how we look, but to optimize our skin biology so that it's more resilient to the aging process. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code MOMDAD at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code MOMDAD. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we've sent you. Again, that is OneSkin.co. Code mom dad. All right.
Let's get
time
into
to talk
it.
Cheating. So I'll tell you this, fam. This is one of the questions that we got a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of in the question box. It was a lot of questions, comments about cheating. A few of them being someone said, advice wanted. Dad, are most men cheating? Mom, how do you trust dad? Someone else asked, is it possible for a couple to be healthy after infidelity? Mm. Which those are, you know, two separate things kind of that come together that we can talk about. Before we answer this question, I want to make something very clear. If even though Evan says he's a mind doctor, let's make something very clear. We are
mind surgeon.
We are not doctors. We are not therapists. So please, this is a very intense, complicated question that is something that is important to talk to professionals and seek professional advice from. So I want to put that out there before we dive into that. And just know that these answers are kind of just personally, I guess, how we feel and our personal takes on it and maybe our own experiences.
Yeah.
But talk to a therapist or a professional about something like this. So I guess the first question, Dad, do all men cheat?
Oof. Do all men cheat? No. But I understand why people could feel that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, well, people cheat for different reasons too, right? Like, there's all sorts of different reasons why. I don't know all the reasons why people cheat, but, you know, all men cheat. No, definitely not all men cheat. But I could see how you could feel that way.
Sure.
But something that I also think about too, which is interesting, is like, sometimes I feel like almost how certain people go, is there a God? I wonder if there's a God or not. And like certain people go like, I don't know. I don't think about it. When it comes to like cheating, I do feel like people almost have a bent towards the desire for the unknown more than other people do. So like there's certain people that are just kind of more like, no, I'm just totally cool with this just relationship that I'm in. And I like the safety of it, you know, the safety of like this thing that we've agreed upon. And I feel like I can, you know what I mean? I feel comfortable in that. And I don't have this kind of big, like, I wonder who that person is and if they like me as much. Yeah. And then I feel like some people really have it. They kind of panic with the whole, like, am I going to be with this one person forever and only one partner forever? Yeah. Am I going to get bored? And, you know, oh, I'm going to miss the chase and the excitement of it and you know?
Well,
so I don't know. It's like an interesting thing I notice out in the wild.
But it then seems then like how there's what we talked about in last episode, how important communication is. And so much of that is, you know, maybe not learning how to communicate or tap into the conversations or even like the exploration of feelings, like when people are feeling that way, like, you know, exploring ethical non-monogamy and getting into that and, you know, and those different avenues, but instead not having communicated that with a partner or, communicating that late in the game with a partner or
not committing to a committed relationship too early. Where you need to kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're dating people or whatever, like, some people jump in quick and just, like, make decisions and then realize, well, maybe I'm not ready for this. And
There's definitely that. I feel like that's one piece of it.
Yeah.
I know that Esther Perel has talked before when I've listened to different, like, podcasts and things discussing, you know, the idea that so often cheating, it's not about the other partner.
No, it's almost like rarely.
It's not about the other partner not giving something. It's about that own person and how they're, you know, dealing or not dealing with things in their life.
Like looking for validation.
Yes.
You know, a fear of getting old. I mean, there's so many different things of reasons why people cheat. I feel like they're very, very rarely like, I'm looking for something else in life. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's almost just like it's like a thing. I need a hit.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And there's there's so many different avenues of conversation. That's what I'm bringing up, you know, diving into someone who's a professional and therapist about like, why do people cheat and who cheats and like that type of thing. Like that's more of the doctor's answer, right?
Yeah,
that's more
right.
Seek that out. But what we can give you is the question was part of the question was, mom, how do you trust dad? Mm. So I can give you my personal take and experience on this. I don't.
I have air tags in every one of his pants sewn in. I have drones flown.
Sounds expensive. okay.
If he's followed 24/7, I never have to worry about trust.
Well, my journey was a bumpy one for sure. I've shared before about my past and the cheating that has occurred in my past, whether it be against me and or in my family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that is definitely a trauma. It's a trigger for me. Yeah. And I do not trust easily. And that was always something in our relationship, especially in the early years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I definitely put that on you a lot. It was a lot of me living very anxiously. And it was definitely a deep anxious attachment because of me being terrified and my perspective being, everyone does this and at some point you will. And then, you know, later on in life, identifying that like so much of that is coming from me having been believing the whole time that I could do something to make someone cheat, which is nonsense, right?
Or do something to make them not cheat. You know what I mean? There's kind of this like,
right?
It's up to me,
right? Which is a very like egocentric way. It's like, you know, I could be the most incredible, perfect partner in the entire world, and my partner could still cheat on me, or I could be the worst partner in the world and be terrible, and the person wouldn't cheat on me.
Right?
Like,
that's
not in my control. And so how do I trust dad? Well, I will say this first and foremost, being with a partner who gives you reason to trust is huge. Mm. You've never done anything or gotten close to doing anything that's made me feel distrustful.
But I have something to tell you. No, I'm just kidding. but one thing I will say is, yes, you struggled with, you know, from your past and from life stuff before, you definitely had like a thing going on there.
Yeah,
but I did the classic super fuck up that partners do when someone has kind of a predisposition towards that fear, and it's the omission thing.
Oh yeah,
and
when we were younger.
And
that's
it was
true.
The classic like, oh, I went to my friend's house and had a good time. But what I omitted was that there was this other girl there. Now, I didn't even talk to the girl, but by me not bringing up every person that was there, and then she finds out later when I'm talking to someone else, oh, yeah, that girl was there. What was her name? Da, 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 da. And then now it looks like I was trying, which I was, trying to not bring it up because I thought it would start this whole thing. But that's not, but that's a version of lying. That's a version of not being honest.
No,
and then it creates more of a complex. So that, like, to all the guys out there, to all the girls out there, to anyone out there who kind of just generally omits to kind of, you know, save the other person the headache, mm-hmm. I will say it will come back triple fold because then you'll look like someone who's hiding something.
Yeah, and then you're also like, that's actively difficult and like hard for your partner.
Well, then they're like, when is it just an omission to protect me? When's it a real thing?
Exactly.
You start then having a
and
complex.
And it'll make us spiral. Yeah, I actually
so I definitely
about
made
that
it way worse.
In our younger years.
You had definitely a predisposition to it.
Yeah.
And then I doubled and tripled it during those young years because I was like always doing that move of like, well, you know, I don't want just to trip out about it because I mean, nothing even happened, but I just don't want her. And then all of a sudden it's like one comment made by a friend and the whole thing is
and the
10
fact of the matter
worse.
Is, here's the truth. I probably would have like gotten upset. Like, if you,
you
if could you
have felt a little
have,
pang
if
of
you
jealousy.
Wouldn't have omitted, I would have been, because this is when Jess was in jealous era.
Mm.
It was, I was hot, everybody. Like, I was in jealous era. And something like that would have set me off without you, without the omission. So you're right. You probably did then avoid
an initial bump.
But what we had to then get through in our younger years, gosh, this was when we were like just starting to date, like those first 2 years, we were like 16, 17.
But dude, when you're 16, you're like the most insecure, jealous person on the planet. Everyone's like,
But then what we had to deal with in our younger years already was you understanding that like when you would omit that, that it was because you didn't want to be uncomfortable, because you didn't 100%. Want me to get jealous. And then what I had to realize is like, the way that I'm reacting to this person who is not doing anything inappropriate, not even speaking to this individual,
the way
that I'm reacting is not appropriate. Like, and I have to go inward and go, Jessica, you need to do some serious intake inward and go, why do you have all these feelings? We got to dive down into childhood. We got to dive down into your insecurities. Like, why are you having these reactions? But no, that's very true. That's very true. Yeah. The omitting, it's
thanks for omitting my omitting, but, yeah, no, I was definitely not.
Yeah. No, I was more thinking the last 10 years, not like, 18 years ago.
But yeah, you had like a pretty wild transformation with that, I feel like.
Well, and that's pretty, and so that's what I was wanting to talk about, is that, like I said, obviously there were the omissions in the very early days of our relationship, but I feel like we did work through that pretty quickly. And the realization of like what omitting can do to your partner, I think hit you and struck
you big time.
But you know, my big shift came from genuinely just internal work.
Yeah.
It came through therapy. Mm-hmm. It came through diving into why.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think it's extremely important to be with someone that you trust who has not given you reason not to trust. If that's, you know, we'll get into the more of that in a moment. But for me, with my past, I'm like, I gotta be with somebody who has given me zero reason to not trust them.
Yeah.
Zero reason to not trust them. Yes. That'd zero reason right. to not.
Given you reason to trust them.
Given me reason to trust them. So that was like, that's necessary for me. But then on top of that, it kind of became the idea of how do I trust my partner was, well, I don't have any control over what someone else does. Mm. So I could live in fear, which I was every day, that this person was going to cheat on me, even though they'd given me no reason to. I could live in that anxious state of fear and spiral every day. But I was making myself miserable. Or I could just go, we take this day by day. I'm evaluating who my partner is. I feel as though I can trust them. I'm trying to be the best partner that I can be. And that's all that I can do. Yeah. And I can't just sit there and just grind and go, what if, because it was making my life hell. And the irony that it was like, you weren't doing anything, and yet I was making myself miserable.
Yeah.
You know, and starting to really process what jealousy means. And I've shared about that. I shared about it last week when we started to have a lot of different people from the ethical non-monogamy community come on the podcast, and they were talking about jealousy in different books and stuff that they had read and things they had processed. That was really helpful for me too, to just dive into what jealousy is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of the long and short of it for me.
I mean, and that's like, you know, we're talking about it like it's a thing, but it's no easy feat. That's like saying, this is how I got over my fear of heights. You know what I mean? It's like, go ahead and stand on top of that building right now and look down and be like, just get over it. It's not as simple as that. It's a process.
And trust, I it's still a thing that flares up for me. And I, you know, it's funny. I feel it coming a mile away.
It's funny because it's so random to me now.
Oh, when all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like you'll just be like out of nowhere and be like, say something. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what?
No, I'll feel it coming.
I haven't heard that in years.
I'll feel that flare up. And a lot of times when that
probably
happens.
Probably a symptom of something else, though.
Well,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of times when all of a sudden I'm feeling that, again, this is just my experience and my journey, is that it's something else, other stresses that are brewing that agitate that, that are making me feel insecure and I'm getting in my head about things.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden these old traumas and triggers from my childhood are coming back and I'm going, oh God, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is how it all, you know, and then and those alarm bells are going off. And that's then a reminder for me, like, it's time to call the therapist. Yeah. It's time to do some meditative work. It's time to just, you know, reevaluate and... but then there's the question that someone said, can a relationship work after infidelity?
This is a great question.
This is a great question.
Really good question.
Which, again, I am no doctor, but I will give my thoughts.
But the mind surgeon is here. Don't you
please
worry.
Don't, no, don't say that. But before we get into that, let's take one final pause. Mm-hmm. Family. So specifically the last 6 months, I have been making a concentrated effort to make some lifestyle changes to create healthier habits for me. I've been on this journey and I've always struggled with that, but I felt in my 35th year that it was time. And one of those was attempting to eat in a way in which I got my good nutrients in by eating those fruits and veggies. And to be honest, that hasn't been hard. It hasn't been hard because of Daily Harvest. Achieving my wellness goals is more about making healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love Daily Harvest. They take the work out of keeping healthy habits. So all I have to do is enjoy, and enjoy I do. I love my Daily Harvest, everybody.
It's the best.
The best is so good.
They take the planning, prep, and cleanup out of cooking by delivering our favorite veggie and fruit-packed meals straight to our door. With Daily Harvest, we're getting tons of plant-based options, built-in organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of gluten, fillers, seed oils, added starches, and sugars. It really takes the guesswork and effort out of eating food I know is good for me.
Mm-hmm. And listen, we all know usually keeping healthy habits means the same old boring meals, but not with Daily Harvest. They've got so many great options for any time of day. The array of delicious smoothies and harvest bowls they have is truly incredible. I, of course, have my go-to favorites like the mint and cacao smoothie and the cauliflower pesto harvest bowl, but I am constantly trying different meals because Daily Harvest has so many great options. I tried the carrot and cinnamon smoothie the other day and it was incredible. So good. Also, with the warmer weather coming, check out their pops. That mango passion fruit pop is just so good. It's calling my name right now. And on top of it all, by using only recyclable or compostable packaging when possible, Daily Harvest is doing their part to take care of our earth, which helps me limit my waste. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/momdad to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/momdad for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/momdad. Okay, so is it possible for a couple to be healthy after infidelity? So deep.
My first thoughts are anything's possible.
Sure.
Right? Anything's possible. So that's like, I don't think you can say yes or no. I just think anything's possible. I think the circumstances are huge, but I also think it has a lot to do with it's interesting. It's like, I think it has a lot because I think there's kind of this general, the person that got cheated on is kind of the, can they survive this? But there's also the, like, is the person that cheated healing from their behavioral problems? You know what I'm saying? So there's kind of this, like, is your habits changed? Are you giving the person who is trying to survive in the relationship, like you said, reason to trust, ways of healing, support, not just guilty, you know, waiting for the clock to run out of how long I'm going to feel bad for this.
And the person who cheated is going to have to know that they forever are going to be in the process of proving themselves.
Like, there is a level of, like, when you make a mistake, you can be forgiven.
Yeah.
But the mistake is still, like, it still happened.
Exactly. So it's not going to be like after a couple months, this is going to be good. Like, this is going to, it is grief.
Yes.
You literally,
it's a death, kind of. You
put a death to what was trust and an agreed concept in your relationship. So just like grief, it's not linear.
Right.
So someone will grieve your actions randomly. Maybe for the first few months after the partner who got cheated on is like pretty low key about it. And then all of a sudden, a few years in, something might happen and it might hit them out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, or like it might be really intense for the first few months and then be okay. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, like random years in, like it's not going to be linear. So the person who did the cheating is going to have to know, like, hey, this is not going to be something that you can, this isn't going to be a quick fix.
Yeah. I really do think that people focus so much more on the cheated.
Yeah, of course, cheaty, because of everything.
Because
that
there's
they
how are you
going to
heal?
Through.
How are you going to get through this? Which is obvious.
Yeah.
But I think there's a ton of emphasis on the cheater in regards to, there needs to be.
Yes.
Because it's like,
well, they're the one who has to do the work. They need to do the life change work.
Well, and not only the life change work, but then like you were saying, it's like, okay, there could be this, like anytime we make a mistake, there's this how long until it doesn't feel like it's still around mm-hmm. anymore, mm-hmm. right? Anytime you do anything, it's kind of like, okay, I mean, if you get in an accident and you it's your fault, the insurance, you have to pay more for a while and then it slowly goes away and you're like, okay, we're good now. All is forgiven. So when it comes to the cheater, there can be this feeling, I'm sure, that like you can get lulled into like, we're good now.
Yeah.
It's been a year. We've cried our eyes out. You're over it, right? Mm-hmm. So if then the cheaty brings it up 3 years later and starts bawling, the cheater could be like, oh, are you serious? Like, we're still
exactly.
talking about this. And then if now we're here and now we're there, and then the person hangs on more because they don't feel validated. So mm-hmm. it's like, I think there's so much. Yeah, like we need, like you would really have to focus on the cheater and be like, is the cheater making the changes?
And
is the cheater, aside from the obvious changes of stop cheating,
and I would
is the
imagine,
behavioral change
and
different?
I would imagine that the temptation would be to never talk about it with each other because it brings a lot of pain up. But like probably the best thing to do was have for probably the rest of your relationship pretty regular conversations
yes.
about it. And have to be so clear in communication yeah. with each other with your grief and
yes.
how you're feeling and the feelings on both sides,
yeah.
right? That would be, I think, a really, God, there's so many difficult parts.
How do
it,
you feel?
How would
like,
I do?
Like, how would you do with cheating?
You know, I think personally, it depends again on the relationship.
Yeah.
With our relationship, because you're someone who I'm like, I want to be with you for the rest of my
yeah.
life, that I feel like it's something I would want to work through.
Yeah.
But it would also depend on the context. That's
sure.
a huge thing. Like for me, just the physical, I think that I would want to process through that and
yes.
continue on the relationship. But if it was an emotional affair, I don't know if I'd be able to handle that.
Right.
I don't,
right.
I think I would maybe try, but I don't think it's something that I could ultimately deal with.
But purely physical, much, you could put your mind around that a lot more.
Yeah. Again, it would be so difficult.
Yeah.
But I think again, because of our specific relationship, it'd be like, okay, this is something that I want to make work.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think you're better at this than me. Better is a weird word, but
better at cheating or getting
better
cheated
at
on.
Getting cheated on. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like I do honestly feel like it's funny. We talk about you were being this extra jealous person in our early relationships, and you know we all have pangs of jealousy that come and go. Now I honestly feel like you're the one in the relationship that could handle heavier things happening than I could.
Yeah.
So
but
it's like
I
started.
But I think a lot of that's because
the
it was so prevalent
yeah.
when I was young and then in childhood and stuff that it's like I have done a lot of internal work
sure.
with it that I've tried to, you know, I've run through all the scenarios in my head and my anxiety of like, what would you do
you've
if?
Done
and
the
I've
worst
processed
case scenario
it.
And work through
yeah,
those.
Yeah, which I don't necessarily recommend, but like that's what I've
so
done.
You have a more balanced approach though of like a holistic, you kind of the whole,
balanced,
your whole.
Yeah.
A balanced approach.
Sorry.
Okay. So your balanced approach is that you kind of, I feel like you've taken the whole concept to church. You know what I mean? Like you've taken
yeah.
the whole thing and kind of dealt with it. For me, I feel like I'm like Mr. Super Long Leash. But the second you go past the leash, I would really
That's
struggle.
That's a wild example, having someone on a leash.
That is. I didn't mean it in that way. Like I mean you, more like no, I mean like I'm cool with like have, I'm a pretty chill
you
partner.
You are so chill. And
I'm not jealous. We're like, where were you? Who are you talking to?
Your boundaries extend far.
Okay.
But once you
Boundaries instead of leash. Let's try that one. My boundaries extend very far.
Yeah.
I'm not a jealous person
no.
when it comes to day to day.
No.
You know what I mean? Like you go out with your friends, you do this thing. I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous. But if you were to do something past what my boundary is, it might be one of those things that like I think I would not handle it nearly as good as you.
But can I say this? I want to take that out. I don't think there's a handle it as well.
Okay.
Because my point is this. When it comes to can a couple be healthy after infidelity, it depends on what you want and who you are.
That's true.
And there's no, when someone is the one who gets cheated on, there is no, like, in my opinion, again, I'm not a doctor, but like right or wrong way to feel about it. Like, it's not like, you could say that person handled it better because they, you know, process it more. No, if you're handling it as you absolutely, you know, devastated, spiraling. I mean, it's valid. So what I'm saying is I think it's just like, maybe I would be more apt to try to keep a relationship going versus you might be like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
Let me make a caveat though.
Yeah.
More what I'm saying is not better or worse. Better or worse is like really reductive language for what I'm more referring to. What I'm saying is this. I think you wear your heart on your sleeve more than I do. So you can kind of, you kind of get a reaction earlier on.
Yeah.
But when you go deeper in, you have less ego than I do. So for me, it's like my boundary extends farther. But the second you get to the boundary, I think I have a bigger ego than you do. So the cheating, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do feel like I haven't done that work as much. The outer skirt ego fence I have out there is more concrete, where yours is like, you know, has some air through it. So I feel like for me, it's like the blow to my ego. And, you know what I mean? Aside from the fact that I would feel betrayed or whatever, I also think that there would be a big ego piece. That would happen, I think, much heavier for me than it would for you. So that's more when I say worse. It's more like I could see a surprising collapse. Because, you know, so that's kind of. So basically coming back from that, I think would be much harder for me. Then I think you would have an initial boosh. And then come back. I think I would be okay at first.
And then
it would like start to ripple into my life. You know what I mean? And I'd have to really start. I think it'd be the delayed effect for me.
Well, then off of that, the question itself, can a couple ever be healthy after infidelity? I would say yes, a couple can be. In fact, I know some people who there's been infidelity and years later they have a really great, healthy relationship. But with that being said, it's going to take a lot of work. And it's not going to just be.
I'm chill.
It's not going to just be work of like, hey, let's shove it down and just process. It's like there needs to be a commitment to being like, I'm going to have to do so much work. In the interim, I would imagine, too, where it's like, we're going to have to take a pause for a minute because I need to examine myself. And let's just say I'm the one who got cheated on. I need to examine myself and take a pause and say, is this something that I can really live with? Like, is this something that will I ever be able to trust this person? Will I be at peace? You know, so much internal work has to go into it. And then also external work. Work together and separately. And but I also think it's one of those things too that I want to make so clear is it's just different for each person. It just depends on what your boundary, like it depends on what your boundary is. It's like for some people, it's like you cheat on me, never again, we're done. And I say bless. If that's your boundary, incredible. Like that's you, then you know yourself and that's how it is. But then for some people, it's like, no, I want to keep trying. Bless, amazing. So I think it's one of those things where it's like, it just depends on who you are, what your personal history is, your boundaries, how, you know, what you want moving forward. It's just different for each person. And I do think you can be healthy after, but I think it's going to be probably a lifelong journey. It's never going to be gone.
No.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Again, those are my non-doctor thoughts, but that's just.
But I think the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
But don't underestimate the amount of work it's going to take.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay.
Next more? Question. Yeah. I've got a couple more. Another one. We got a couple of these. This one hit me. I feel like this is a really important one. Someone said, have either of you ever felt lonely in the relationship? And how did you deal? And got a couple other questions about loneliness in a relationship. Yeah. So have either of you ever felt lonely in the relationship? And how did you deal?
Jess hasn't, but I have. So we've worked through that. No, I mean, definitely.
Absolutely. I think this
long-term
is
long-term relationship loneliness happening for sure.
I think the bottom line is any relationship. Like,
if you ever felt lonely in a friendship, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to feel lonely. And I think talking about loneliness in a especially in a long-term relationship is so important, because I don't think it's something that is talked about before you get into a like committed long-term relationship. It's like, "Oh, what's my partner?" You know, at the beginning, you're like, oh, we have so many good times together. We're spending all this time together. Or, you know, it's all honeymoon phasey, all of that. Like, at some point, you will get lonely in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And for me, if I'm talking to a friend, if I'm addressing myself internally, the biggest thing I've learned is that when I have felt lonely in our relationship, I can't put everything that I need on one individual. I can't. Yeah. I can't expect you to fulfill all my needs.
Yeah.
Just because I love you and we've been together for so long and there's so many good things, I can't put that pressure on you to fill all my loneliness gaps. I can't put that pressure on anybody.
Yeah.
Friends, lovers, you know, husbands, wives, partners, you know, whatever. You just can't. It has to be internal.
Yeah.
When I have felt really lonely in the relationship, I've had to really examine learning how to be with myself.
Mm.
Because I think there's a difference between feeling like I'm lonely in this relationship because my partner is not present.
Yeah.
That's a different conversation. If we're having a partner who, you know, is not emotionally meeting your needs, isn't available, that's a different conversation. We're talking about our relationship where you're a great partner, but inevitably, like, I will feel lonely.
Yeah.
It's so important to maintain plenty of relationship outside of a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. But I can have amazing friends, an amazing partner, and still have phases of feeling lonely. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to cultivate your relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
Learning how to be alone and be a friend to yourself and a lover to yourself is really important.
Yeah. I agree.
You know?
I agree 100%. I mean, to piggyback off what you're saying, to more go into the partner side of things too, like, I think that you experience loneliness when you're expecting your partner to be a mind reader personally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, let's say I'm really feeling like I need support.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like I need someone to cheer me on. I need a little pick me up.
You need a boost.
Right? I'm feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not really doing that just naturally in our
impossible.
Life.
Impossible. Go ahead.
Right.
Impossible. I'm a best.
And when I mean cheer, I mean literally I want you in a cheerleader outfit as I'm walking out the door.
Oh my God. Okay. Keep going.
Yo. No, but what I'm saying is like, you know what I mean? Like, let's say I'm feeling lately, like, I want you to be like, babe, you're killing it. Yeah. And you're an amazing dad. And you're like, I'm feeling I need to pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say a word to you. And then I'm kind of sitting there going like, she's not really like cheering me on or really there for me. I feel lonely. I feel like no one's got my back. Right. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of start feeling loneliness. You start feeling this feeling of no one understands you energy, but you didn't communicate. It's not sexy to communicate sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's sexy in your mind is like
the mystery of it all.
Or just like the, you know, I'm feeling down and they come in and save the day. Like that's very romantic and fun to feel that way.
It's very rom-com.
It's very rom-com.
They know, they show up without you asking.
It's also very early days relationship. Correct. We're not talking 10 years in. You know, when you're first dating, everyone's just on full power mode, NOS engaged, like you're everything you ever wanted and they're everything you ever, and you're just giving it all the time. But when you normalize into a life, and you got to take care of yourself sometimes. You got to do things. You're not thinking constantly in terms of what does my partner need today? Mm-hmm. You're just, how do I survive? Right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a big, like, in addition to self-work, to where you're not relying on your partner to not feel lonely, mm-hmm. you also need to communicate when you need something. And if they don't do it over time, which I've been very guilty of, then that's when like a bigger conversation. That's when loneliness, you're kind of experiencing loneliness in like the real form and you're like, yeah, I need help or something needs to change. But there also is this like, you can't expect your partner to know when you need something. No, because they're in their own world too.
Very true.
And they could be feeling the exact same way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a loneliness. It's kind of like this. If you have a friend and you're feeling like you're close with them, but then they're hanging out with this other crew and you feel left out, right? If you never even mention to your friend like, oh, what are you guys doing tonight? Can I come cruise? And your friend could be like, oh, yeah, totally. I thought you were busy. You didn't want to come or whatever. But you could let that loneliness fester and be like, they don't like me or they're lame or they've changed or whatever. But literally what could have happened is they just thought you were busy or that on Tuesday nights you do dinner with your girl. Whatever
time.
It is,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But that's all from not communicating. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like it's a big, like, you can kind of let your own loneliness build because you're not making very small steps to, like, fix it.
Yeah.
But the answer is, yes, loneliness in relationship is like a real fucking thing, mm-hmm. especially the longer your relationship goes. Mm-hmm. And you can fall into kind of patterns where you just kind of coast mm-hmm. big time.
Yeah. No, what you're saying is so true. It's so true. But then also then the caveat is that even if you have a partner who, let's just say, is doing it all right,
right.
you can still feel
lonely
in a relationship. Like that just is what it is. And I do feel like it's so important to have to cultivate your relationship with you. And that was something that I had to really learn how to do because you and I started dating so early.
Yeah.
So I spent, you know, and before you, I had a boyfriend for a while, too. I was very much relationship person. I've been a relationship gal. And so.
What did you just say?
So, relationship gal. So, like. You know, I had to, because we started dating so young and then we got married young too, you know, just via the nature of it all, it's very codependent. It's like, oh, we're a unit.
Yeah.
And one day you will wake up and go, oh, we're not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still my own person, and you're your own person, and we want different things, or we're hurting each other, or, you know, whatever. Like, you wake up and you go, oh, no, that's, and it's, and the beauty of it is that you should be your own person. You need to be your own person.
Yeah.
Your own person is beautiful and unique and so special. And, and when I woke up one day and I felt like, oh, man, I'm putting, even if Evan's being an amazing partner right now, I am putting every expectation on him, like needing him to be everything to me. And even if he is, quote unquote, doing it all right, it still doesn't fulfill me entirely because I need to fulfill myself. You know, and I think that's why we've talked about a lot in different call homes where we're always like, go out and like pursue your dreams, pursue your hobbies, pursue friendships, like have things outside of that relationship.
Yeah.
And then also do that alone with yourself too. Like figure out what you love to do with you. Do you love to go take a book and go on a walk and find a nice bench and read alone? Like, do you not like to take a nice walk? I like to take a walk and feel the breeze against my face. That makes me feel like me. I like to drive in the car and be blasting show tunes. That I enjoy that time with me.
Yeah.
And it's important to keep cultivating that.
Yeah.
And so that when you do have those times in the relationship and you're feeling a certain way, you can gauge about communication with your partner and gauge that. But then you also can gauge, okay, have I neglected my relationship with me? Is it time to take care of me a little bit and have the me moments and do some growing and, And maybe I'm in a season where I got to spend time with myself. And instead of looking at it as like a way of like feeling just utterly alone, it's a way of feeling like, oh, how can I like romance myself again? How can I take care of myself again?
Also, recognizing the difference between loneliness in your relationship and general loneliness. Right, there could be this thing of like you and your partner are doing good,
yeah,
but you feel like you're in a season where you don't have too many friends, and that's bothering you.
Yeah,
so then you're feeling lonely, but you're kind of putting it all on the relationship to save you from that feeling.
Yeah, do you want to talk? You felt that way.
I have felt that way at times, because, like, if I'm being super honest, there was kind of a friend cleansing. I don't want to say like in a bad way, just more in a way of like I realized there was a chunk of my life where I had like a large network of people that I hung out with.
Yeah, you had a big crew of friends.
Big crew, but kind of like over time realized that like the depth wasn't as deep as I thought, and kind of realized that those relationships were based off of just like having fun. But there actually wasn't a whole lot of like depth there.
Yeah.
And so when you kind of like get older and you kind of go, well, you know, I'm not just about having fun anymore. Like I need more. You kind of realize that whittles it way down. And it's kind of it can kind of feel like a death a little bit, like where you're like, whoa, like I went from having a lot of stimulation, a lot, to, you know, kind of a concentrated thing. So you're getting more nutrients, but it's also just less stimuli. So there's kind of this like, it's almost like weaning yourself off of an iPhone or something. You know what I mean? There's like this, okay, like I'm getting good stuff. I'm reading a book now, but it's not quite as exciting as the Dune 2. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a little like, you know what I mean? So it's like you need both. But like that's kind of been an interesting thing for me, is like focusing on the quality of the relationship has definitely dwindled down the like, size of the network.
But then us processing too, like when you were working through like those feelings of grief, is that at first it was like, is it something with our relationship, and having to navigate, you're like, oh no, it has nothing to do with us.
Well,
it's
yeah,
because
I can
loneliness.
I can
feeling.
Bring that into our relationship.
Yeah,
you know, because then I can start to put on you the kind of things that I'm lacking.
Why am I not the bro dog?
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Why am I not the bro?
It was like, dude, you don't get me anymore, babe. Dude, babe. Dude, babe.
Dude, babe.
I walk in and I'm just like, what's up? Yeah. Boom, and then like, let's make love.
Fist bump, chest bump, let's do it.
Yeah. Dude, babe, bro, let's make love. Be everything for me. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's like, because then you can start bringing that into the relationship, but that's unfair to your partner. So it's like your own loneliness with your life. If you put on your partner to somehow fix, which they obviously can't.
Yeah.
You have to like, so all in all with this question, you have to kind of decipher, am I lonely in the relationship? I think a clear way to know that is if you and your friends are doing good and you're still lonely in your relationship. That's like kind of another litmus test to be like, oh, me and my friends have a great relationship. We have good times. I don't feel lonely at all in my social circles. But when I get home, I feel lonely. That's a really good way to know my relationship is lonely, because you can get a little combiny where you're like, wait, I'm feeling a little lonely in my social circle. I'm feeling lonely in my relationship. Like you kind of start to, things can start to blend there. So just be vigilant about like checking that out and be like, am I truly lonely or is it my own life? You know, whatever.
It's important to take note, I think, more than we do. That's something that I'm learning and haven't been very good at in a lot of parts of my life that I feel like I'm trying to focus on more is like slowing down and pausing and like taking note of like, let's evaluate different aspects of who I am in my life right now so that it doesn't all combine in one emotion for me, that I can go, I'm feeling this way in this area, this way in this area, and you know, and evaluating there and not making it just one big porridge. I don't know.
Emotional porridge.
Yeah.
I feel like that's some sort of That's got to be some sort of clothing line. Emotional porridge.
Emotional porridge.
Like a state of mind.
Emotional porridge is sick. Emotional porridge definitely would be a badass clothing line.
Like a hipster clothing line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You featured at Urban Outfitters. Emotional porridge.
Emotional porridge. Their jeans are incredible.
This is Tumblr. Blog title for
yes, yes.
It's definitely like a Tumblr blog. Yeah. Emotional porridge. Okay. Don't steal that. I'm going to use that somehow. One of the many ideas we have that we never use that we promise we will.
This one will.
This is the
one. This one will do. So, yeah.
What you been up to? I've been running a blog called Emotional Porridge. What's it about? I don't know yet. I just have the name. It's just sick.
We're still stirring it up.
Lee, you always got the puns.
That's why he's here.
You always got the puns. But yeah, I hope that answers it. It helps. All right. There is another big topic that we got quite a few voicemails about and messages about.
Okay.
And let's dive into the concept of it. With a voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Mom and Dad. I'm calling because I want some advice on how to support my girlfriend and navigate religion in our relationship. So we live in New York City. We've been dating for a year. I am from Boston and I grew up Catholic, but not in a very intense way. And she is from Orange County and grew up evangelical. So culturally, it's very different. And I think she's kind of going through reevaluating what all that means to her. And I want to be supportive while she does that. And, you know, not be overly involved or overly invested in an outcome and just give her the freedom to kind of figure out what she wants on her own. But I have a lot of, you know, like negative associations and fears attached to it. And so it's kind of hard to be neutral. And then on top of that, just navigating, dealing with her family. A lot of her family like are accepting, but her mom and dad specifically are not. They're very loving, but they, you know, they think she's going to hell. And they don't want to meet me yet. Yeah, I guess just navigating all of it as someone that has no real familiarity with that culture. Just any advice you all might have, considering I feel like you know more about the subject than I do. So thank you. I appreciate any advice you can give me. I love the podcast. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to say this is going to be the one that I'm going to get the tears on. This conversation. I want to say I am so sorry to you and your girlfriend that you're having to experience, like you said, parents that are loving to her but then will not accept you two together. And I'm just really sorry. Talking about them, you know, thinking that she's going to go to hell. It is a trauma that's so painful. Mm-hmm. When it comes to family, and it's so wrong, and I'm really, really sorry that that's something that you all are having to deal with, especially like when you're a year in and, you know, loving on each other and just having that then hanging over. Mm. It's terrible, and I'm really sorry. You also, I just want to say, from just hearing this, you know, my initial reaction is you sound like such an amazing partner, talking about how you're wanting your girlfriend to even though you have like the traumas and triggers mm-hmm. there, you're letting your girlfriend have this space yeah. to kind of figure out how she feels about everything. It is so hard when you come from a specific place where the religion was involved and it was actively hurting people and not accepting and loving people, to be in a space where you're able to feel those triggers yourself and those traumas, but then be there for your partner as they're walking through it, is like such incredible love. And I can only imagine how much that means to your partner. And if they don't feel it in this moment, like they will feel that deeply. Mm-hmm. What are your initial thoughts about this, honey?
Oh, it's tough. You know, I always look at it like, it depends how close you are with your family, you know. It also depends now if your girlfriend is struggling with like her religion or ex-religion. Like, I more details there mean a lot, because it's like, wait, is she still like going like, I think I still believe in the way of life? Or are we just talking about the fact that we feel like mom and dad aren't accepting and that sucks and we're trying to figure out how now I feel disowned by my own family energy? Like, would it obviously there's a bit of both there, but it'd be interesting to know like what you're dealing with when it comes to her attachment to the religion. Is it basically, oh, I came out, but I'm still a Christian, and I'm trying to figure that out? Like, there's kind of a lot going on there. So I don't know the details about that. But all I can say is, to the piece of mom and dad not accepting you, that's just going to be, it kind of feels like a death a little bit. Like, I know I brought that up before, but it's like, it's on them that they're not accepting you. So yeah, I think it's going to feel like a death. I mean, I think the reality of my relationship with my parents isn't what I thought it was going to be. My relationship with my parents is not what I want it to be.
Yeah.
But that's not on me. That's on them. Yeah. So I think there's this thing of like, that's probably where your support's going to come into, is like, you know, obviously there's a religion piece, but just kind of going through the, hey, you know, I know this hurts. I know this mm-hmm. sucks. I know that the plan's not working out, you know, our childhood plan of our parents and us being best friends forever.
Yeah, supporting.
But at the end of the day, like, it's their belief system that's causing them to not support you. So you kind of have to go, that's the process. And like you said, you don't come from that world. So it's foreign to you, this idea of like, wait, parents not love me?
I'll say this. You mentioned your girlfriend is evangelical from Orange County, and I'm like, hi, hello.
Right.
It's literally nice to meet you. Evangelical from Orange County, both of us over here, how we were raised. And so what I'll say is, as far as the family goes, and it literally, like, it makes me feel sick and like breaks my heart to have to say this, but I would say, from just historically seeing this over and over again with my own friends and people that I love, you have to expect that her parents are not going to change.
Yeah.
You know, I send every fiber of my hope that they will to you both. But from what I've seen, unfortunately, there has to be an expectation that, like, they're not going to change.
Have hope. You know, give them love, but don't wait on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, and also kind of a thing. But then it's also, like, to like give them love if that's what you want. Like, you have to put up your own boundaries and understand, like, what's going to be too hurtful for you. And I think then that's the conversation, like Evan said, you know, as far as supporting your partner, I think being a partner who can be encouraging to her when she's dealing with this from her family is incredible. But then for you to protect yourself in this and know, as you're going through your relationship, as much as you love your partner, like, genuinely processing, if this is someone who I want to be with long term, knowing, like, how do you feel knowing that, you know, your future in-laws might never accept your relationship.
Right.
are you okay with that? And if you're not, like, it's okay that you're like, no, you know, yeah. you know what I'm saying? It's being able to process all those things. And like Evan said too, as far as your girlfriend, what she's feeling right now, about processing religion, unsure of what that is, mm-hmm. like Evan mentioned, is it her just working through the trauma of it? And we had another question, another voicemail that I'll just bring up, where a caller called in and she said, I deal with so much shame in my relationship now, having come out of, she was also in evangelical Christianity, and there's this concept of quote unquote original sin, mm-hmm. and how she feels constantly this feeling of shame because of the way that she was brought up. So yeah. For your partner, is this something that your partner's feeling? Is she processing through like this constant feeling of shame? Or is it, I think I want to stay in this specific type of religion?
Yeah.
That's going to be different because, like you said to our caller, you have all of your feelings about this and your yeah. traumas. And so it feels impossible to say, but if there's a way that you can simultaneously let your partner process, which you said you're doing, and I think that that's incredible, but also be taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And still keeping your boundaries and being able to communicate that with your partner, where it's like, when there's a conversation, it might go too far for you. Like, I know for myself personally, and this is like, you know, everyone, no hate to anybody, and everyone needs to move differently. But for me, from the background that I came from, if all of a sudden you, Evan, for example, started feeling like, I want to really dive back into this specific religion, and their specific ways of thinking, I don't think that's something that I could stay with, because yeah. I know it would be very like triggering and unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
And I also absolutely feel like there are parts of it that I am not okay with.
Yeah.
So that's something that you then are going to have to be simultaneously examining in yourself. So while you can take care of your partner by being there and letting her process, simultaneously make sure that it doesn't go to a place where you feel like you're feeling constantly triggered in that space.
Yeah, like this isn't your journey here.
Yeah.
This is hers. Mm-hmm. So be a supportive partner, but don't take it upon yourself to figure this all out for her.
Yeah.
This is going to be, or else you're going to be never really moving on from it, or like having elevated, because it'll be kind of you fixing it all the time. Yeah. So just like let it go, let her go through it, be there to support. But this is, like you said, you don't even know really what this is. So you're kind of looking at this going, yeah, I don't even know what this is all about yeah. really. And it's like, yeah, I would imagine it kind of feels like alien almost, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so don't try to like totally get it. Just be there for her.
Yeah.
If she needs anything, be there. But like,
and if
she's going to have to go through this, because they're all, you know, it's her journey.
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, if you're comfortable, like just being there and you're feeling like you're protecting yourself too, and your traumas, just know that there's going to probably be a lot of moments where in her pain, it might get directed towards you, but not be meant to be directed towards you. Right. Like, when you're raised your whole life being told that if you love a certain person, you're going to go to hell, there's so much trauma in that, that even if she fully doesn't believe that and is, you know, wildly in love with you and this is the perfect relationship for her, there still unfortunately is that process of like the shame that has been put on someone, and then the pain of feeling your parents not accepting you for who you love. It's a lot, and it's going to be something that, just like we brought up earlier with like, you know, getting cheated on, it's grief, it's waves of grief that hit. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, you know, Evan and I came from the exact same type of household, and even that, I feel like I often dump my traumas of that on you, mm-hmm. even though we went through the same thing, because I'm feeling the pain of not feeling loved and accepted for who I am and being shut out for certain things, that it's just so wrong. But then I'll direct my grief and trauma and frustration in your direction, which, you know, I'm trying to learn to deal with through therapy and yeah. all these things. But your girlfriend may do that. So if this is the relationship you want to be in and you are comfortable walking through this with her, just know that in certain moments it might get directed towards you, but it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's just the pain that she's processing, feeling all right. these things. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, to some of our other messages about people saying that they have felt a lot of shame because of their specific religious upbringing in relationships. Do you have any suggestions for that?
I guess my question is, what was the question exactly? Like,
there were all different ones.
But I'm just curious, like, what kind of shame? Like, some sexual
of it, some
shame?
Some of it was sexual shame. You know, a lot of it was seemed to be around that.
The sexual shame?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things. I think that there's a lot of pressure put on sex. Right. So like there's not only like the self kind of hatred, right, of like, don't touch yourself, don't have sex until you can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, imagine, so your whole life you're told like you can't masturbate.
From purity culture.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can't masturbate. You can't have sex. Your whole life, your whole foundational upbringing is like, do not look down there.
Sure.
And do not let anyone else look down there, and don't look at anyone else's down there. Right.
Yeah.
Hardcore, yeah. Until one day you sign a contract with someone and then they're like, it's all good, baby. You know what yeah. I mean? So it's like,
install the stripper pole in the bedroom.
Right.
And provide.
Yeah, exactly. So like all of a sudden you're just supposed to turn off 30 or however, like 20 years of programming
mm-hmm.
that you've had your entire life and just supposed to be like open and fun and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think, and then also kind of like put pressure on to be like a sex icon.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of like pressure of like, you got to blow your partner's mind so that they'll never look anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, it's kind of like, it's like playing, go play basketball and go dunk and you've never bounced a ball in your life.
Yeah.
There's
sure.
a lot of that in like sex Christian culture.
Yeah. Which when you look at it that
and
way,
like
how
can't
wild
dunk,
is that?
You know
yeah,
what I mean? And then
course.
Be like in your head about it. And it's like,
and I love when you put it in the basketball way. It's like, yeah, of course you're going to be filled with wild anxiety.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm supposed to do what? Like, well,
I'm supposed to play one-on-one. I've never even seen a basketball court.
Yeah.
So basically all I would say is like, it comes from self-love first.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you're feeling sexual shame or shame from religion, it's a lot of you've been told to hate yourself in some form or another. So it's getting back to like the, oh, I maybe am good enough, or maybe I am pretty cool, or maybe I am pretty interesting, or
yeah.
a lovely
if
person.
You,
you know
if
what
you
mean?
Come it's from, like, let's just say, like, again, this is specific to us, but like if you come from the specific type of evangelical religion we came from,
yeah.
it was like what was very much put into our heads since we were small children was, you're a sinner and that's it. You're inherently not good.
Yeah.
And so then of course you're going to be dealing with like the constant feeling of like, I guess I'm just not a bad person.
Yeah.
So of course there's going to be shame. So self-love is so important.
And there's this, and there's also, and if you grew up in this, you definitely know what this is, which is everyone's full of shit. In that, like, there's like, don't talk about sex. Don't look at sex. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And then when everyone gets married, everyone fake brags about how epic they are at sex too.
Yes.
So there's always just like, oh
yeah.
my God, my night with my husband was insane.
Yeah. And then you feel horrible
about
yourself.
I was to
yeah.
pound town and I was flying from the ceilings doing acrobatic work while mid orgasm.
Yeah.
How was your wedding night? You know, like, there's a lot of that shit too, where it's
yes.
like, no one goes, sex was horrific.
Yeah.
Took us a long time to figure
out. A lot
out
of people are
it.
Honest when it's like, yeah, the wedding night, when it's a lot of these like people, it's their very first time ever.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, or it's uncomfortable, or people haven't communicated.
Right.
And of course that it's that way.
Yeah,
and but it comes from then, you know, again,
my husband's a rock star in the bedroom, and you're like, okay, like.
But it's the same energy of like, you know, the stereotypical, the specific, again, this is specific, but the specific type of evangelical pastor where it's just like, everybody get a look at my hot, sexy wife. I will
yeah.
never be attracted to another woman again for the rest of my life. And you're like, okay.
Meanwhile, headline, pastor has 57 affairs. You know what I mean? It's like, either way, long story short is like, just know that whatever, like, the sexual shame you're going through probably most likely has just to do with the fact that, like, you've been, you can't just wake up one day and be, like, shame-free when you've been trained to be shamed your whole life. So it's like, just know it's a process. Go slow. You know, if you're kind of, let's say you're new to sex and you're struggling with the shame thing, like, don't jump into the deep end and be like, why do I feel weird? Like, yeah. It's okay to just take your time.
I think
move slow. Move into, like, loving yourself as you go. And then as you go, evolve, 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 you know?
I think a great way of doing this is, you know, a lot of self-pleasure beforehand.
Sure, learning your own body.
Learning your own body, what you like, what feels nice, what you feel comfortable with. Yeah. And if that, if even that is feeling like it's too intimidating, which I totally get, you know, there's the element of, like, what makes you start feeling that feeling there, and just allowing yourself to feel that and start there and get to that feeling. And then maybe you don't feel comfortable touching yourself yet, but you can feel that feeling. And then maybe in a couple days, try it again. See if now maybe you want to start. And you, yeah, like you said, it's like you let yourself ease into it so that you can start a sexual relationship with yourself and or then other people where you know what you want, you know what your boundaries are, what you're comfortable with, and learn that yourself. Mm. And as far as in, like, the shame where you don't have the self-love, you know, when we throw the term around self-love, that's, it's like, how do you just get self-love? Yeah. It's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, can I just pay for self-love? That would be great. That would really help. No, it's going to be a journey.
Yeah.
And it starts with getting to a point where it's almost kind of going back to, like I was saying, having a relationship with you, like getting to know who you are and letting yourself and letting yourself celebrate yourself, like spending time with you and just the affirmation of, like, yeah, you are pretty amazing. And let yourself sit in that. Let yourself sit in that. You know, also trying to find different books and podcasts. I know for myself personally, I'll say this, I've said this before, Pete Holmes, You Made It Weird, were the most incredible podcast. You saw me. You saw my shift when I started listening to those. I still love his podcast, but
he's amazing with the whole religion kind of.
Yes, the trauma
thing.
And he started
those early ones.
The podcasts with Pete Holmes with Rob Bell. We've had Rob Bell and Chatty Broads for, you know, you all saw me. I was absolutely
like 10 years ago.
Out. Yes. But you know, Pete Holmes, Rob Bell, Pete Holmes with Richard Rohr. There's so many conversations that you can listen to. And it helps you feel in community too. Like knowing it's not just you who feels this way and is struggling with figuring out how to feel what self-love is. But yeah, I think even then too, just going back to our caller, and her girlfriend, just echoing then what we've all said, is I think a way, if you're in a relationship with someone who has come from that specific type of religious background or a religious background that is not accepting or non-affirming, a big way that you can love on your partner is patience.
Yeah.
And I know it's so, and that takes a lot of love, and it is tough, but like, We are going to need patience. Mm-hmm. I know I needed a lot of patience. You needed a lot of patience. We still do, because we're healing that part of ourselves.
Also, like, extra tough. I don't know your scenario, but it would be really, really hard too if one person is experiencing a lot of shame and one person isn't.
Sure.
So if one person feels super liberated in the bedroom and free, and the other person's kind of like super shamed up, that's like a gnarly place to be.
Yeah.
Because 100%. You're feeling like you're holding them up and you're holding the progress up. And so
you put that shame on yourself. You're like, oh, my partner is free and now I'm holding them back.
So now you're faking it to like get through it because you're like trying to act like the thing that they've want, or you know, and then you're kind of burying yourself deeper into the shame hole. So
possibly just communicating with your partner, like maybe knowing that they might be feeling shame in that space and struggling with that, even though they adore you.
You can just be super real. Be like, that position I get in my head about. I mean, it could be that honest. Like,
no, but I'm saying even being the partner then to that person too. Like if you're the partner who's super liberated, to just like know, okay, this doesn't have to do with how they feel about me. Yeah. They might be feeling shame, that then you can maybe do a really extra special job of communicating what they feel comfortable with, or being like seeing that, hey, they seem comfortable with this specific thing. Mm-hmm. So let's be like, I really enjoy that too. And let's vamp on that for a while, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, you
like, it could just be like in a real practical way. It could be like, let's say that you're ashamed about the fact like of getting a little too freaky.
Yeah.
And it like freaks you out to get freaky.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, that position's a freaky one for me. I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
My partner seems to be like, oh, loving it, mm-hmm. or totally good. So you can either do one of two things. You can kind of fake it and just play the role that you're feeling like you should. Or you can just talk to them. I'm not quite there yet. Can we try this other thing? Kind of warm up through it and get there if that's what we want to do. What I mean, it could be as just cut and dry as that, you know?
Yeah.
So I know that sometimes can take out the like mystery of the whole thing. But then I think it'll allow you to get back into the mystery really well, because you're going to be like, I now we know each other better. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that helps in some way. The religion,
obviously,
we
don't know the specifics, so we're kind of, you know, we're always kind of feeling it out. But
yeah, and I'm looking at the time for Evan, and I know you have you got to run to work soon. But I'll say the religion one, we did get numerous messages about that specifics. Like one, I would love to maybe in a future call home talk about this one. One with two people who grew up super conservative, and now one person is regularly smoking weed and the other person isn't against it, but it's like, oh, I'm not used to this.
Well, weed's a sin, and so I think that's a cut and dry one. Done, next.
I know there are a lot of, like, when it comes to the religion and relationships, there were a lot. So let us know if you want us to keep talking about that. It's definitely a hard one to try to cover in like a few minutes, because obviously, you know, we have a lot of our own personal feelings with it. But I'll wrap by saying, you know, we've been working through and on that for a few years now.
Mm.
And what I've come to realize is just, again, and it all kind of comes back to this, how important it is to have a relationship with yourself. I've had to really learn how to identify the certain triggers that I have because of my upbringing. When I meet someone who has a really beautiful relationship with religion, who is in part of a community, a church that's super affirming and loving, and it's amazing. But I have my triggers too, where I go, you know, where I have to be like, okay, I need to learn how to like the acceptance of different people's thoughts and beliefs, and if they're not, you know, hurting anyone. But I'm processing through those traumas and triggers myself, and it's so necessary to have that relationship with yourself and spend a lot of time with you, which means you talking about you either with a therapist or writing in your journal, you talking to yourself, doing a lot of reading, researching at that communities for yourself. It's so important to have that relationship, specifically in a relationship, so you don't get lost in that relationship, you know? So
yeah, I agree.
Anywho, we love you, family. Thank you so much for sending all of these.
I love these family times.
Me too. And like I said, after getting all the messages last week, it just made me feel way less alone and encouraged me, and love the feeling of community. So we adore you, family. And
we love you.
We love you, and have a beautiful week. And we'll see you next week for the beginning of Traitors 2 and The Circle. It's reality TV time, baby.
Let's go.
All right.
Love y'all.
Love you. Mwah. Bye.
Bye.